God, touch me. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever felt His touch one time, you'll know what it is for to touch you again. Somebody said, "Preacher, do you really believe that we can feel God?" I'd hate to think that somebody as big as God lived in me and I couldn't feel Him every now and then. I really would. After all, faith is at the seat of our emotions. And we get emotional about everything else, but we can't seem to muster it about God. It makes me wonder sometimes about our real spiritual standing with God. I said our spiritual standing with God. That's right. Somebody as big as God can't touch us and lives in us. I'll tell you, we may be farther away from Him than what we think we are. And it should drive us all to our knees, all right? I want to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews. I want to get back to Hebrews for a little if I can. I don't know what all we're going to do in Hebrews, but we've been trying to preach through it and preach out of it now for several months and in and out of it and to other places, and I just keep going back to it. Maybe one of these days we'll get completely through it. And we're going to begin reading tonight in chapter number 5. And so when you find chapter number 5, well, let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Now, I've already preached out of this passage of Scripture once out of Hebrews, and I feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart tonight to go back here. I was serious a minute ago. What I have to preach tonight is so simple, and yet it's so profound at the same time. And I hope that God will use it to deal with our hearts as His dear children and to help us all get to where we ought to be in our service to Him. And so we're going to begin reading in verse number 8 tonight, all right? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we'll put off reading right there and trust that God will add His blessing to the reading of His Word this evening. Our Father, I'm thankful again tonight for the privilege that we have to be back in the house of God. Lord, I realize above all things in our service that Thy Word is the preeminent thing. And it's my prayer tonight to Thee that You'll take these Scriptures that were read and what's preached from these feeble lips of clay tonight, and Father, that You'll move our hearts closer to Thee. You said in Thy Word, if we'd draw nigh to God, that You would draw nigh to us. Please help us tonight. We're just clay, and we're just human, and Lord, we're imperfect, and we've got all kinds of imperfections in our life. And it's my prayer that You'll not overlook, but Lord, that You'll forgive our sin. And so many times we've failed You. And have mercy and show mercy and grace to the people of God. I'm praying that You'll anoint the preaching tonight. Help me, Lord, to say something constructive to Your people. And Lord, it's my desire tonight that You would help my old tired body just a little. And then may the oil of the Spirit of the living God, lubricate my soul and anoint me and consecrate me and set me apart tonight and empower me for the preaching of this word. I pray You touch my throat and help it. Lord, above all things, just open our hearts to receive the word of God. And Father, may Your name, may You be glorified and honored. May sinners be brought to Christ. And may Your will be done in every heart and life. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 11 in our text. And read that in your hearing one more time. Where Paul said, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Now, if God will help me, I want to preach for these next maybe 30 minutes or so on the consequences of a dull ear. the consequences of a dull ear. Brother Paul said there that he had some things that he yet wanted to say to the people of God, but they weren't ready to receive them because these people had become dull in their hearing. Now, I know physically a little bit about what Paul here is referring to spiritually. I went this past week and went to Nashville, and they fitted me up with a couple of hearing aids. I've got bilateral hearing loss, and they fixed me up with a couple of hearing aids. And I have grown dull in my hearing, soft whispers. I just can't hear and understand folks that speak in a soft voice. And then there's times when men will speak in an old, gruff, draggy voice. And I just cannot make out what they're saying. It doesn't sink home. And then sometimes I think I do hear, but I'm like a lot of folks. I'm caught up on that word, huh. And I hear what they say, but it's always huh. And I think there's a lot of Baptists that way tonight, church, that they hear what the Word of God says, but their response, rather than just take the Word for what it is, their response is, huh, to what's been said in God's holy and infallible book. Now, as we begin tonight, I want to remind you, or to just ask you to please keep in mind that what the theme of the book of Hebrews is. This book, Paul here is showing the superiority of Christianity over Judaism. He's bringing a group of people out of their old Judaistic philosophies and religions and ways of life. Christ has died. Temple worship has ceased. They're no longer offering any more lambs. And these people are having a tendency to drift back to where they used to be, into their old Judaism and into their religious ceremonies and formal ceremonies for God. I may say that that's where a lot of people are tonight. Buddy, we talk about the Roman Catholics and they're praying the rosary and they're drinking their little fruit juice every Sunday and eating their little wafer every Sunday and then they're teaching transubstantiation. That is to say that little wafer literally turns into the body of the Lord Jesus and the juice turns in. Well, probably not juice. I'd say they're drinking Moking David wine. But they say that wine turns in to the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talk about them having religious ceremonies. I want to say, church, we're not much better than what they are. We've grown to a place in our Baptist circles where that old-time worship of God is just about a thing of the past. I mean, we're satisfied coming to church and singing two or three songs and letting somebody get up and sing a special. We know when to say amen, when to bring the choir up, when to put the choir down. And rather than worship God in spirit and in truth, I'm afraid that we've grown so dull of hearing that we've drifted back into an old formal ritualistic type of worship service that is profitable to nothing, not even the flesh nor the spirit of man, for it wears out the flesh and never feeds the soul of man on anything. That's right. And so Paul here is preaching the superiority of Christianity. I want to remind you that at the center of Christianity is Christ. And Paul is simply saying that Christ is superior to all the types and has fulfilled all the types and is superior to each one of those that preceded him. Now, here in our text, it is the priesthood that is in question. Both the priesthood of Aaron and of Melchizedek. And Brother Paul said, of both of these men and their doctrines and their teaching, he said, I've got a lot of things that I'd like to say to you, but they're hard to be uttered because that you're dull of hearing. Paul said, your ears have grown dull, and I'd like to tell you more about the priesthood, but he said, I can't because you would not understand what I'm trying to preach to you. I want to stop right there for just a minute and say, church, that a study
study in the Word of God on the priesthood of the Lord would be very, very rewarding to you. There's not much teaching nor preaching on the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ today. But I'm telling you, it is a blessed doctrine in the Word of God that will bring you all the way from the brazen altar outside, all the way through that brazen laver into the holy place, on back into the Holy of Holies, and will eventually bring you right into the presence of Almighty God. Now, I'm going to say on the outside of the study, just like the outside of the tabernacle, it's kind of dull. But honey, once you get on the inside, hallelujah to God, where the blessings are, you'll find it rich in your study, rich to your soul, and blessing to your heart. There's not a dull thing in the Bible about the priesthood of Christ. I'll tell you, when I first started reading the book of Leviticus, read the book of Leviticus, and read about the offerings in the priesthood, the first time I read through it, I thought, my God, how boring can something get? And I'm going to tell you what made it boring. Dull of hearing. Not that I'd got tired of hearing. It's just I lacked a little understanding on what was being said. I mean, would it, when he began to talk about all the sockets of silver and the boards and overlaid with gold and all of this, I'm telling you, and the cubits and the spans and all this, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. The second time I read through it, I got a little bit more out of it. The third time, it got even better. Now, I'm telling you, now that I have learned a little bit about the work of our Lord as our great high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, I found that book tremendously rewarding to me and a blessing in my life every time I study through it. And it would you too. It would you too to study through it. That's right. Now, he said that you're dull of hearing. Hear about Melchizedek. That I'd like to say a lot of things, but your ears are dull. You need to sharpen up your hearing and concerning this doctrine. Now, stay right with me, and I'll try to get to my thought. The word dull there simply means that these people were slothful. That word literally means that they had grown slothful, or that they had gotten into a state of heaviness before God. I simply mean that they had ceased to be active and had settled into a state of complacency and had no power to bestir themselves. Isn't that kind of what I said in this morning's hour? That we have gotten to a place of carelessness. We have gotten into a place of complacency in our life. We've grown just enough to learn the lingo about the Bible, and we're satisfied with where we are, and we have gotten slothful, friend, in our Bible study and in prayer and in reading that Word and carefully examining Bible doctrine, that we may grow thereby and gain knowledge and wisdom from the Word of God. And I'm satisfied that we're dull of hearing. We've sat down on a pew, and like the songwriter of old said, I shall not be moved. But I'm telling you, we've not got there yet. We've not arrived yet. We got a ways to go yet. Hallelujah. The depths of Christ's love and grace has never been fathomed by the mind nor the heart of any man. And we got a long way to go to get there. These folks had gotten dull. They had gotten slothful. They had gotten heavy. They had gotten heavy. And they had no power to bestir themselves. I want to say to you tonight that there's going to come times in your Christian life that you're going to have to encourage yourself. Oh, Brother David, in the book of 1 Samuel, when he realized that Ziklag had been burned with fire, and that his wives had been carried away into captivity, and that all of his goods and all of his men's wives and all of their properties had been carried off from Ziklag. Those men wanted to stone David to death. But David went to God in prayer. The Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Somebody said, I want to go to church and I hope the preacher will say something that will encourage my heart unto God. If you would get in the Bible and read the Bible, you would find out that God would encourage you in the Word of God, and you wouldn't need the preacher all the time. Amen. That's right. Amen. Oh, brother, David went to battle one time, and God said, I want you to make a compass, David, and go down come up back of the Philistines. So he did, and in our language, he burnt their hide and burnt it good. And the Philistines come up again. David said, you want me to go up against them again? God said, no, David. He said, I want you to stay right where you're at. And when you hear the rustling in the mulberry tree, then bestir yourself. He said, when you hear a little bit of movement, David, from the hand of God, in other words, when you hear the wind blowing through the mulberry trees, bestir yourself. It's time to get up and get at it. I want to say to you tonight, church, when the water is a moving or when the mulberry trees is in a rustling, that's the time you need to bestir yourself, encourage yourself in God, get into that Bible, and get something from the Word of God that'll feed your soul. Now I'm going to tell you what we do. There's some mulberry trees rustling. But I tell you what, I'm pretty satisfied where I'm at. I'm quite a spiritual guy, you know. Or I've just about arrived as a woman. I know about everything they are to know about God. And I'm going to tell you what. I bet there ain't over 5 people in the whole building can name every item, every stick of furniture in the tabernacle. Huh? Hear what I'm saying? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, buddy, hey, when God is a-stirring, that's the time you need to stir yourself. My wife said something the other day, and I'm not saying this is a bragging way, just to make an illustration. I want you to understand that. But we was talking about somebody preaching and how they're preaching on holiness and how we ought to live holy lives and this and that. And we're sitting there talking. She said, I'm going to tell you something. She said, I remember when your preaching changed. I thought maybe there's something wrong with you. And I sat there for a minute, and I thought, run that through my mind. You remember when my preaching changed? I said, hallelujah to God down in my heart. I'm glad it changed. It may have changed, and some of you didn't even know it. You know what the change was? It was a second dose of God in my life. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I fell under old time, Holy Ghost anointed, and God set me in a wide place and turned me loose and let me preach the Word of God. And when God stirred my soul, it was time for me to encourage myself in the Lord. Don't be dull of hearing, buddy. Don't you be dull of hearing. Huh? I'm going to tell you what James said. James said you ought to be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak and slow to wrath and quick to hear. Now I'm going to tell you what most of us are. We run our mouths rapidly. We're quick to talk. And we're quick to get angry and get filled up with wrath. But we're slow to hear anything that God's got to say for us. We're just living a backwards life from what God wants us to be. And I'm going to tell you why most folks are dull of hearing. Most of them are running their mouth too fast to hear. You cannot hear when you're talking. That's right. I said you can't hear somebody else when you're talking. You got to learn to keep your mouth shut and listen for God to speak to you. That's right. Some men were standing out there in the hall the other day. They're standing in the hall talking. I didn't know this talking. I'm dull of hearing. And I come walking out of that back room. And Brother Doug was saying something to Brother George and Brother Steve Ford. And I walked out of the back room and I just lit into talking 90 miles a minute. And they all went to laughing. And I didn't have to ask them what was wrong. I knew what was wrong. They were talking and I come out of there and because I'm dull of hearing, I couldn't hear a word they were saying. I started running my mouth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I just went to running my mouth, 90 miles a minute, talking about something. Hey, folks, that's where we're living spiritually. We're not listening to God. And we're slow to hear when we ought to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. We've got that thing just backwards. Now, I ain't got done with introduction yet, hallelujah to God. Hey, these Hebrews had become mentally and spiritually, now listen carefully, they had become mentally and spiritually what loafers are in the natural world. I can't handle a loafer. I think a man don't work, don't eat. If a man too lazy to get out and get a job, let him starve to death. Well, Brother Hall, that's what they got welfare stacks for, food stacks. Yeah, and that tell you what, we got a bunch of sorry devils. That's loafers and sluggards that's living off the government and right people that need a helping hand. Bless God, can't get it when they need it because a bunch of sluggards has got it all. Women laying around giving birth every 9 months so they can get more money on welfare. Huh? Loafers. Won't hold down a job. Shame on a man. Hey, somebody said, I can't find a job. Bull. I'm here to tell you, buddy, the unemployment office and the unemployment rate is lower than it's ever been in the history of America since the World War. Don't tell me there ain't work out there. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a bunch of sorry, lazy devils that don't want the work.
Amen. Somebody said, well, you make a good check, though, Brother Hall. Well, I might. And I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't have a check coming in, buddy, I'd be down at McDonald's if that's the only place left knocking on their door to get a job. I'm not going to be labeled an infidel. That's right. Hey, and look here. I'm not going to be labeled a spiritual infidel. Somewhere loafing on God. Somebody said, well, I can't take it physically. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. When I was some of you fellas' age, I went to work 9 hours a day, got off work, went to work at 7 o'clock, got off at 5 o'clock, drove 20 minutes to get home, took a bath, and was in a classroom at 6 o'clock that evening, and sat there till 9:30 in class, come home, did my homework, schoolwork, read and studied my Bible, got meat out of that book from God, and went to bed and rolled out at 6 a.m. and went right back to work again. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall. All work, no play made Jack a dull boy. You're going to have to learn to work, buddy. And that's right. On your job and get into this Bible at the nighttime. I'm learning that nighttime is my best time in the book. That's Miss Hall's worst time. It's my best time. It's just my best time. She just goes to bed and leaves me alone. I sit down out there in that recliner. That's my best time with God. No noise. No kids a hollering. No noise. Nobody driving up and down the highway. Nobody to disturb. Just get in that book and sit there and roll around that word in your heart and get something from a righteous and a holy God. Amen. And learn to grow in grace. Hey, they had become dull of hearing. Paul said, you've gone as far as you're going with God because you're a loafer. And you're lazy and you will not apply yourself to God. I'm going to tell you that. Now, do you hear me well? There ain't no man or woman that won't apply themselves. If you won't apply yourself, you ain't getting nowhere in this world. If a man or woman apply himself in the job he's got and try to promote himself or better himself, amen. I'm telling you, I ain't got much faith in him trying to ever promote himself or better himself in the Bible. If you don't have enough initiative, that's right, come on now. You don't have enough initiative to labor in the world and to prosper and profit yourself in the world. You surely don't have enough get up and go about you to get in the Bible and get something from God out of it. Hallelujah. I think it is. I don't know. I kind of thought it was. The Hebrews had become mentally and spiritually what loafers are in the natural world. They had become too lazy to make any effort to improve their spiritual relationship to Christ. Spiritual sluggards is what they were. Oh, they looked back at Judaism and said, well, said it did look pretty good back there. But look here. Here's the problem. They didn't go back, but they didn't go forward. They just stopped right where they were. They didn't start offering burnt sacrifices again. They didn't offer no more lambs. They didn't start offering lambs again, but I'm going to tell you what they didn't do either. They didn't go on, Paul said down in 6:1. He said, therefore, we ought to lay aside. We ought to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on unto perfection. Not laying again that foundation unto dead works and the doctrine of repentance from the dead works and of faith toward God and all this and all that. He said, go on, get in the Bible, dig in the book, read the Word of God, meditate in it, chew it, roll it around, pray over it, worship God, and go on with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Now, notice about three things here very quickly that reveals their sluggish condition in God. Number one, they were unable to distinguish between good and evil. It said in verse number 14, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you know what good and evil is there? Truth and error. Truth and error. Hey, we joke about it. We joke about it. But I'm telling you right now, there's people that don't know whether they're a Baptist or an Armenian.
They don't know if they're a Calvinist or a Baptist. I'm just making that. I'm not talking about Steve and Ricky and them now. I'm just saying to you that for a truth. That people, hey, we got people today that are so weak in God that they don't really know what they are, where they stand when it comes to truth and error in the Bible. There's people sitting right in this room that are not even sure about the doctrine of baptism. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's folks in this room that are not sure about the doctrine of eternal life. Unto God. God said He come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And God loved the world and gave His Son that we might have eternal life. If it's not eternal, huh? Buddy, I'll tell you, if it can be interrupted and cut short, it's not eternal life. And yet there's folks all around the world struggling with that very Bible doctrine. Believing falling from grace, losing their salvation, this and that, scared to death, afraid they're going to lose what they never did have. Right. Salvation is of the Lord. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Right. These people are confused about the doctrine of baptism. Folks are confused about the doctrine of eternal salvation. Folks are confused about the doctrine of the church. Hey, you're looking at a boy that believes in the church.
Amen.
I'm not talking about some big invisible balloon out there somewhere. Some big blob of a body that everybody's in when they get saved. Now, hey, show me where that crowd meets on Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you where most of them meet on Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock with Pat Robertson, the PTL club. Sitting at home watching television. And most of them at night meet about 7:30 with the old-time gospel hour and Jerry Foulmouth. They've been on television too. Most of them belong to that big invisible church. They hear Billy Graham once every 6 months and think they've been to church.
Right. Amen.
Hey, my tithes go to the church. Yes. If I want to give them that big invisible, I just pull them out the window out the front door. My tithes come to the church.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You're looking at a man that believes this is the church. It's local, it's visible, and this is all there is.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I just don't know about that. That's because you've never studied the Bible. You're dull of hearing on that subject. Huh? You'd be surprised at how many of you people sitting right in here. If I was to leave this church or God move me somewhere or you run me off and another man come in here as a universalist, you'd be surprised at how many of y'all fall right in line and believe what he told you.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Boy, are we all in that big church. I'm telling you, God help us, buddy. We're in bad shape. Now we are. These folks that dress right, walk right, and spit white, and don't know what it takes to get saved. They believe they can get in that baptistry and get baptized in Jesus' name. That'll save them. All you got to do is be baptized in Jesus' name. They Southerners that just believe all you got to do is be baptized. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Bible mentioned the blood before it did the baptistry. Hallelujah to God. It mentioned the lamb and the sacrifice before it ever mentioned the baptistry. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Amen. Unable to distinguish between good and evil, truth and error is what it boils down to. Then they could not judge between the promptings of the Spirit and the solicitations of Satan. You'd be surprised of the people that are so confused inside that they can't tell when it's the Holy Ghost talking and when it's the devil talking. Folks, hey. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about my sheep hear my voice.
Amen.
These folks that cannot discern whether it's God talking to them, or the devil talking to them, or whether it's their flesh talking to them. Which brings me to the third truth here. They could not discern between the desires of the new nature and the lustings of the flesh.
Amen.
And you better hear, Brother Hall, well, that friend, that the devil's got a counterfeit for everything God has.
Amen.
He will counterfeit the promptings of the Spirit of God in your life and will do it by the power of Satan.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you there's a difference. Satan can influence, but God speaks.
Amen.
Did you get a hold of that?
Yes.
Satan can influence, but God speaks.
Amen.
Let that run by you again. Satan can influence, but God speaks. Somebody said, how can I discern the difference? One of them is right with the Word of God, and the other is contrary to what the Bible says.
Yes.
And one of them just a little lie all the time. That's the devil. You know what he said? To Eve? He said, here's that tree. Go ahead and eat it. He said, no. Said, Lord, said, better not eat that. Said, we ain't digging, we ain't that. Said, we're going to die. And the devil said, you shall not die.
Right.
Contrary. So I told the Lord in the garden, said, you do, son of God, take yourself down. He's tempted. You want to say it? The influence of Satan is tempted. It always comes with a temptation for you to solicit evil. Are you hear what I'm saying?
Good.
The promptings of the Spirit will always prompt you to do right and do good. We need to get in that Bible and get a hold of enough of God that we can discern between the difference between the old nature and the flesh and the devil and the promptings of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, that brings me to my message. That's the introduction. Brings me to my message. I won't be long on it because it's just plain old simple stuff that everybody already knows. Somebody said, what was wrong with these people? Number one, they lacked understanding in the Word of God. Huh? They lacked understanding in the Word of God. Paul said there, he said, of whom I have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. They just did not understand what the Bible had to say.
Amen.
They didn't understand it. Somebody said, well, listen, folks, that word. I guess the message tonight revolves all around the Word of God.
Amen.
My goodness. Hey, if they're dull of hearing, then it had to be they were dull to the Word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So they lacked an understanding in what the Word of God had to say for their life. That's right. Somebody said, what do we need to do with the Word of God? I want to say, number one, you need to receive it. Receive the Word of God. It must be received. James said in James chapter number 1 and verse number 21, Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that God's people need to learn to receive the Word of God. You've got to receive it. You've got to take it in. You've got to get it into you and receive it. It can't fall on stony ground now. If it falls on a stony heart, I'm telling you, in trouble. If it falls amongst thorns, you in trouble. If it falls by the wayside, you in trouble. You've got to receive it into good ground to bring forth fruit unto God. You've got to receive the Word of God. Notice what he said there. He said, you need to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And you'll never receive the engrafted Word of God that's able to save your soul until you lay that stuff apart.
Right.
Do you know what the word superfluity means? I'm telling you, that's a big word. You know what it means? It means superabounding. Those things that are superabounding in your life. Lay apart all the filthiness and all that superabounding naughtiness that's in your life. In other words, lay apart all the sin that is super abounding in your life. Just thoroughly get clean down to the bone. Amen.
Right.
What did I say in Sunday school a few weeks ago? That good shepherd leads us beside still waters and calls us to lie down in green pastures. You fellas remember that?
Yes.
Hallelujah to God. You remember what the lady up at the health food place told me? She said, get you some of that barley. I said, ma'am, that's grass. I said, it's green grass. She said, look at my tongue.
Green as a
Granny Golden Grimes apple or whatever you call it. I'm talking about green, boy. She said, you got to have green. She said, you got to eat living food. Said, all that old dead stuff you kill when you cook it. Said, you got to have that green living food. And I said, what will it do? She said, green keeps you clean. In other words, it'll flush out. It'll keep you clean. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying if you lay down in green pastures in the Word of God, that the green will keep you clean and you can receive the Word of God. When you receive it, God will give you understanding from it. Ain't that right? I know that's right now. That's right. Lay apart. Hey, get this now. To lay apart simply means to put away, to shun, to avoid anything that is dirty,
ungodly or wicked, and not to take part in anything that would resemble our old depraved nature.
Folks, that just about shoves the TV out the back door, don't it? Not to fool with anything that is likened to your old depraved nature. What did you do when you were depraved? Somebody said, I got in automobiles with young men, rode around with them. Came on, you son of a lady, if you're doing that.
Amen.
You ain't going to receive the Word of God with that mess.
Amen.
No! What you did, I'm going to tell you what you did. You went down and watched a theater, watched television. Got out and caroused and run around and cussed. You think you're going to get the Bible? You think you're going to become super spiritual overnight? Oh, no, sir.
Amen.
Son, you're going to have to shun, stay away from, and avoid everything that will feed your old depraved nature. And by the way, that also means people that are involved in sin, they'll feed your mind full of junk. They'll corrupt your mind. Feed your mind full of that junk. I don't even like to go to the barber shop. I would to God Miss Hall cut hair. That's right. I'm telling you, I called a fella yesterday. He said it's a $2,000 window you can have for $250. He said, I'm telling you, the SOV is 7 feet tall. You need to come and look at it. I just kind of backed away from the telephone. And later, when I got off the phone, I told Miss Hall, I said, we're going over tomorrow and look at that window. I said, that man cussed me and I didn't like it. She said, you didn't tell him to shut up? I said, no, I give grace. And I showed grace one time, but if he cusses me again, I'm going to tell him to shut up. I don't like that mess. I'm telling you, buddy, when I got saved, I laid aside a cussing, filthy, nasty, ragged mouth. Amen! I don't take God's name in vain. Don't like to be around them devils that do. I'm telling you, if you lay around your family and friends all the time a cussing and a swearing and a carrying on, you cannot lay aside or lay apart all that sin and receive the Word of God. You come to the house of God on Sunday morning, preacher preach to you, it'd just be like pouring water on a duck's back. Got all that junk running through your mind over and over and over. I know it will. Because I'm going to tell you what, the devil's got enough influence in that mind, he'll put her in there and see to it you listen to it. You think he ain't cunning? I preached that revival meeting for Brother Rager 2 weeks in a revival meeting a few weeks ago for Brother Gene Rager and the good folks up at Wheatland, Indiana. And I'm telling you, we left the church one day and we was going over to get lunch or do something, and we was going out through the country. He was just a little community and it's all out in the country. And we was driving out through the country and stopped at this corner and turned left and went down. And there's an old tore down building there, still had the steps leading up into it. And I said, what's that, Brother Reisner? He said, that's old number 9 school. And the minute he said number 9, I'm talking about the split second. The split second. I'm not talking about 3 seconds later, but the split second. He said, old number 9. Immediately my mind said, engine number 9, going down the railroad line. I know she got on in Baltimore. Hear what I'm saying? You mark her down, buddy. You cannot be. Hey, the devil's there, and I know if he'll jump in my mind, he'll jump in my mind over an old broken down schoolhouse to remind me of my past. He'll do the same to you, buddy, and we cannot live. James said, if you're going to receive the Word of God, lay it apart. Shun it. Stay away from it. Be holy. Somebody said, Brother Hall, we got to have fellowship. Fellowship with somebody that won't look in the face and cuss you at the same time. That's right. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I can see I better move on from that. Amen. Not only has got the Word of God, it's got to be received, but I'm telling you, the Word of God must be desired. It must be desired. You know what Brother Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. To desire the sincere milk of the Word means to intensely crave the undeceitful and unadulterated Word of God. Crave it. Love it. Desire it. Want it. Amen. Amen. Just have a desire, a burning desire your soul for that Bible I'm reading. Oh, Brother Roloff said the other day, he said, every man that's saved ought to memorize a chapter a week. I said, my soul. I
I said, he didn't get that from not eating pork.
Amen.
Not drinking coffee.
Amen.
Memorize a chapter a week. Or hear what? I'm talking about having a desire for the Word of God. And you know what it said there? And it's amazing. God just hit me with this. He said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and all that stuff. Isn't it amazing? To receive the Word of God, you've got to lay something aside which is sinful. And to desire it, you've got to do the same thing. All malice. You hear me well. I'm going to get even. Uh-oh. You ain't going nowhere with God. Malice, strife, hatred. You ain't going anywhere with God, and you ain't going to have a desire. Somebody said, well, I just struggle with my reading, and I just can't seem to get into reading. Get right with God. Get thoroughly right with God and desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may no longer be dull, but that you may grow in grace and knowledge of the Son of God. That you may grow thereby. And I believe you all already died on me, ain't you? I hope you ain't died. You know what I wrote down under that? Hey, Brother Job said in Job 23:12, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hurt all of us to back away from the table a little bit and read the Bible. Fasting and praying, still in order.
Right.
Huh? Got to have that whopper, though, don't we, boy? When you're laying block, you got to have a whopper anyway. Hey, God, I'm telling you what, I had to have two or three of them a few days myself. Hallelujah to God. Well, I done told on myself, Brother Jerry, while I'm not in trouble now, what am I going to do? Done got myself up in a corner. Don't know how to preach my way out of it. Yeah, I do too. I wrote in the margin of my notes, I said, preacher straight, Lord, help me to get right. I wrote her there for me. Preacher straight, I want to right with God. Buddy, I don't want some pussyfooter getting up and cutting the corners on me. Oh, no, buddy. I like my preaching like I like my coffee, hot and straight. Hallelujah to God right down the line. I don't dilute my coffee with cream and sugar. I like her straight. I can drink it right out of the pot, son. Hot out of the pot. Amen. I like my preaching straight right out of the pot. Glory to God. I said, preacher, right, Lord. Preacher straight and keep old Brother Hall right.
Yeah.
That's what will keep you right. Preaching her right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Must be desired. What kind of a desire do we have for that Bible? I want to say number three, it must be meditated upon. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? It must. The Word of God must be meditated. Folks, if you read a chapter in your Bible and throw your Bible down, and that's all you ever do, you're in trouble. Do you know how a cow chews a cud and they swallow it and they get out in the field and want another little bite? It's like a White Castle. They just roll it up and eat it again.
Amen.
You ever hear a preacher and the preacher says, I've got one that's ready to preach this morning. She's been on the back burner of simmering. You know what he's saying? I've had her in my mind and had her in my heart and I've rolled her around in my soul. And she's a burning. It's like Nehemiah said, it's like a fire a burning down in my bones that I just can't stay. I just can't stand it. Buddy, I've got to let her out. I've got to tell somebody. Amen. I'm telling you, God calls a man to preach. You give him something to say. I've got something to say. I won't be still until I've said all God's happy to say. Somebody said, what if you'd drop dead in the pulpit? Goodbye to you and hello to God. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Must be meditated upon. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say, because I'm getting ready, I think, to give a good jap slap to about everybody. Do you know why we don't have many spirit-filled Christians today? I'm going to tell you why we don't have many of them that claim they're spirit-filled up in the Armenian rites. They ain't near us. Filled with God. That's what some of them think they are. I know I've talked to some of them by way of telephone. I know the attitude of their heart.
You want me to tell you why we're where? Hey, do you know that meditation in the Word of God, my friend, was absolutely essential to maintain a Spirit-filled life? When old Joshua and Joshua 1 got ready to lead the people of God across the Jordan into that Canaan land, which is a type of the Spirit-filled life, you know what God said to him? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you might learn to prosper and have good success when you get over there." I'm simply saying that's God's way of saying, buddy, that meditation in the Word of God is essential for a Spirit-filled life. That's why we're not Spirit-filled. Oh, we've got our hair cut right. We've got the pants on the men. Amen. I was a kid in Georgia, just the house while ago. She said something. I said, "Who done something?" She said, "Her daddy." I said, "I bet your daddy wears pink underwear." I said, "I bet he's got ruffles on his underwear." I bet he's got lace on his shorts. She said, "My daddy don't wear shorts." And Miss Hall said, "Poppy's got a pair on right now." Why do you think it's wrong to wear shorts? I'm going to tell you what men. Don't tell you what men have done when they wear shorts. The only thing they did is done took the britches off.
Right.
Men have wore shorts a long time. All the idiots out in the world done just took their britches off. I've seen men in the military that wore boxer shorts longer than some of the underwear, not Spirit-filled. Son, I'm telling you, put that Bible. Get a verse. I would rather you to digest a verse of Scripture than to stumble over a book. Put it in there and digest it. Roll it around. Get an understanding from it and go on. Don't rush through that Bible. Sit down when you got time. Pray and read it. Meditate on it. Chew your cud. Rear back in your chair. Let God speak to you through that Scripture. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. That's why we're dull of hearing. Hey, we've not received it right, and we've not desired it right, and we've not meditated upon it enough, and we've gotten dull of hearing. We just sat down, gotten sluggish on God. I'm going to say number four, it must be studied. It must be studied. Old Brother Paul said to that young preacher boy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know what? You know what that means, to study to show thyself approved? That word approved simply means to be tried and found truthful and faithful. Hey, that's why I think there've been a whole lot of preachers called, but few chosen. God called them, but they didn't prove themselves faithful, and God didn't choose them. He just let them sit where they're set. Are you hearing what Brother Hall's telling you?
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, that studying in that Word of God will prove your faithfulness and sincerity and your love to God. Study to show thyself. They lacked understanding in the Word of God. And then, now get this, because this brings us back to our text. The Word of God must be taught. He said, "For what time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Christ." It's got to be taught. I had a man to call me the other day on the telephone. He called me on the telephone. I was working on the radio. He didn't call me on the radio. But...
Effie, can you hear me?
But he said, "Here's a couple of programs you ought to pray about putting them on the station." He said, "I like preaching, but you need teaching." And the Word of God has its teaching, has its place in the Word of God. I wish I was a better teacher than I am. I mean that. It's got its place in the Word of God. And it must be taught. And Paul said, "For what time you ought to be teaching the Word of God, you have need that somebody..." And why they're that way is because they're dull of hearing. They got sluggish. They slothful. They got laid back. They stopped on God. They didn't desire it. They didn't receive it. They didn't meditate in it. They didn't study it. They just took it for face value, read a few chapters a day through the Bible down on the coffee table, and went about their daily activities. Now, I want everybody to get this now. I'm just about done with my message. Just listen. Can I be done just a minute? Hey, that word taught there, the Bible needs to be taught in more places than the church. You know what Paul said? You know what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6? He said, hey, said you ought to teach the Word of God in your home. It ought to be on your heart when you lay down at night and when you get up in the morning. You ought to have that Bible in your heart. I want to ask you something, Daddy. How much of the Word of God are you teaching to your children at home? I'm not talking about sitting down and reading a chapter out of the Bible to them and saying, God bless our family and save our babies. Good night, children. Kiss Daddy on the cheek. I'm talking about teaching it home. You know why you can't? Because you have need that one teach you again. Now, it ought to be taught in the home. Ain't no doubt about it. Psalm 78 declares that the Word of God ought to be taught in the home that our kids might learn to praise God and set their hope in God. I'm going to tell you why we've lost generations. Buddy, it ain't because preaching has been so slapped down the house of God. It's because it's been slapped down in our house. That's right. Teach them at the house that they might set their hope in God. I've got news for you folks. The rearing of your children in their spiritual life as well as their secular life is not my responsibility. It's yours.
Amen.
And teaching them the Word of God is not necessarily all my responsibility. It's yours.
Amen.
It's not the church's by itself. It's yours.
Amen.
God's given you that godly right. Oh, what a right and an authority that God's given us for the home God organized and instituted long before He ever did the church.
Amen.
God's given us that blessed privilege to take the Word of God into our homes. And thank God we've still got it. And most of it just collects dust on a table.
Yeah,
you know what? I had a fella come in here the other night. And the fella gave me that $10 check. And it's against the law to post date a check, but he posted it. It's the reason I didn't put it in there. He posted it for the 13th, and I forget what day that was. That's why I just kept it in my pocket. And he said, I want you to pray for my mother. He said, my mother's a missionary. Now, I just don't necessarily believe in women missionaries unless they're married to a good man. But I'm going to tell you, he said, you know, Brother Hall said she went to Russia a while back. He said, the Russian government told my mother, said, we want you to go to a prison and pass out these Bibles. And said, there's about 500 inmates. And said, you'll need about 500 Bibles is all you need. And that boy said, his mama gathered about 500 Bibles and took them into that prison. And when she got there, there was 8 incarcerated behind the bars. She passed out her little 500 Bibles, and that boy said, my mama, when she told me this story, went, said, most of them in the prison, a lot of them were women, said they sat in their cells with tears in their eyes, and in their Russian language, begged my mama for a copy of the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? Buddy, there's people in other lands that's been deprived of the Bible. Son has been given freely to America. And we've laid her on the table and failed the needs of our children. I'm telling you, we've raised infidels and we've raised God haters and we've raised drugs and we've raised slaughters and foreigners and nobodies because we failed to teach the Bible in the home.
Yeah.
And folks in other lands, with tears in their eyes, wanting a copy of the Word of Bible, and yet we neglect what God's given us, the privilege that we have in this book to teach it in the home. It ought to be taught in the home. I don't have time to turn to all these, but I'm telling you that Titus 2:3-5 says that older women ought to teach the younger women. What are you older women teaching you? How spiritual are you older ladies? You teach the younger women. By the way, you know what the two things that they're supposed to teach them? They're supposed to teach them how to love their own husbands. Somebody said, well, Brother Paul, we got married and we're in love. You better hope somebody's around to teach you the Bible, young lady, and teach you how to love that man. You say, oh, we got in love while we got married. No, you had a fervent sexual desire in your heart. Amen. You might as well say amen. You don't know a best beans about love when you're a young kid. Somebody said, how do you know? Because I've been there, done that.
Well,
I'm going to tell you when you know about love, buddy. It's when you've sat each other's side and wept when the other's wept. And you've went through trials together. And you've fought the devil together. And you've fought hell by the acre together. Amen. When you've done without and both of you eat the same wind pudding and the rabbit track stew for a meal, that's when you learn what love's about. Amen. When you follow that woman a few times down to the hospital and watch her go into pain and agony to bring your children into this world and see that mom. That's how you learn to love. I'm telling you, we need some older women teach our younger ladies how to love their husbands. You can't love it if you're loudmouth and disobedient to his authority in the home. You just a barking and spitting in the wind, buddy. You nagging heifer, you. You know what you are? You're just like a continual dropping on a rainy day. Can't get out of it. Just pick. Nag. Huh? Come on now. Say amen.
And then that word of God, according to 2 Timothy 2:2, and I can read that one for you. No, I didn't turn from there, but I believe I can read it. 2 Timothy 2:2. Listen to what it says there. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
God help the young men in here that say they're called to preach. You better get her in.
Amen.
That's my boy. And I can put that. He's my boy. I wouldn't do this to nobody else. But he's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. But I laid my hands on him right there and said, son, this church is ordaining you. And what you've learned from me, you better teach it. Because I know in my heart I've been right with God. And I've got a clear conscience toward God. And son, if he goes out and gets messed up in a mess. I talked to Brother Rick Whitlow last night and asked him, well, some preacher down in that went through Bible college with us, he said the last thing I heard of him, said he went down into Alabama and took a Baptist church and started rubbing arms with a bunch of charismatics, had them over for meetings and this and that. And the last thing I heard of him, he was a speaking in tongues and a carrying off like a cackling goose. I'm going to tell you what, friend, he just failed to teach what he had been taught.
Amen.
He didn't get that from Harold Sotler. He did not get that from Harold Sotler.
Men are to teach other men. They lacked understanding in the Word of God. Now, I've got two more points, but there are no points to them. I just want to mention them and give them to you. Not only did they lack understanding in the Word of God, but they were unskillful in the Word of God. And I want everybody to get this. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll help you. When Paul said there that they are unskillful, he said, I'm going to find it here. Yeah, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And when he said that they're unskillful in the word, what it literally means is that they had failed to apply the word of God to their experiences in life. Do you know what will make you skillful in the word of God is to apply experiences in your life to that Bible. Now, I know that went right over your head. But you hear me well, buddy. There is an answer in this book for every aspect and every condition and every situation of your life. And that's right. And when God takes you through these experiences of life, apply that experience to the Bible and you, amen, and you'll become skillful. In other words, that Bible will be your guide.
Amen.
Here's what Benny was sitting back there in the back, and I walked back there when we come in tonight and get a little bit of coffee. And Benny was sitting back there and he was reading out of a psalm. And I said, for this God will be our guide forever and ever. Be our God forever and ever. He will be our guide unto death. I said, you're reading in Psalm 48, right? He said, that's right, Daddy, that's right. You know that last verse? That last verse, I preached it in the nursing home in Greenville, South Carolina in 1982. I can take you to the nursing home, and I preached on, for this God is our guide, our guide, our guide, our guide forever and ever. He will be, or our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. I've never gotten away from that, and I've learned to take my experiences in life and apply them to the Word of God. In other words, I've tried to bring my life. Let me rephrase that. God has just literally brought my life into the Bible, and I try to live in the Bible.
Amen.
That's why I can't be run off from here until God tells me it's time to go, because I've already lived that experience, and I know who brought me here.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I know that God brought me here, and I've had that experience with God. I've experienced His leadership here and His protection here, His grace here. And I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. They were unskillful. Hey, look here. So I've tried to show some of you that things that's happening in your life right now, take them to that Bible. Take them to the Word of God. Find a character in the Bible that went through exactly what you're going through and read it and study it. And then, they were unstable in the Word of God. I'll close with that. Somebody said, "Brother preacher, how do you know they were unstable?" For in verse number 12, he said, "For what time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of oracles of God." And get this now, "and are become such." They weren't there. They had to get to where they were. And you're become that. In other words, Paul's saying, you was a little further advanced than what you are now. What did I say this morning, church? We digress. Some of you have backslidden on God. You digress rather than progress in God. You backslid on God. That's exactly what you've done. Huh? They were unstable. They used to be up here. They got lazy on God, and now they're living down here. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't get back into that Bible where you ought to be and get a hold of God, you're going to slide farther and farther and farther and farther down the spiritual tube.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? The consequences, folks, of dull ears. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, you get right, thoroughly right with God, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what it'd do for you in your life.
Amen.
You'd be surprised at what you would hear out of the Bible that you've read and never heard before. See, you can hear without really hearing. I put those hearing aids, I wish I'd have brought them with me. I put those hearing aids in my ears. You'd be surprised when you get the right hearing in there what it does for you. Now, I'm going to show you. I've been saving this until now. I started to read it during the course of my message and didn't want to because I was afraid it'd throw me off course. But I think that part of it goes right along with what I'm saying. How many of y'all? I'll lay it out back for you can see it. Can any of y'all see that mess? You see it? Well, I'm going to describe it very briefly. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 men, maybe 8, 9. 10, I can't tell all of them. And they look like they're dressed in wrestling leotards. And they're big bruisers. Now, they're big men. I want you to get this. This is the Power Team Crusade. And they're going to be at the Christian Worship Center in Providence, Kentucky, March the 18th through the 22nd. Now, I want you to get what it says about them. Since their founding by John Jacobs 20 years ago, the Power Team has held crusades in 30 countries and over 800 churches. Get this now. In the first 6 months of 1997, 40,000 people accepted Christ in Power Team Crusade. Now, we're getting to the good part. Do you know what the Power Team does? The Power Team will be performing many acts of strength. They will crush walls of ice, tear apart pop cans, twist steel and snap Louisville sluggers across their thighs. Somebody needs to twist one across their stupid head.
Amen.
Hey, they set things ablaze and smash concrete blocks. But this is destruction with a purpose. It's all about getting attention. And eventually getting souls. This will be an exciting and challenging crusade as they share what God can do for you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend, that a sinner man out there, that his attention is got by some naked idiot beating himself with ball bats and breaking concrete blocks. If you think that you can get his spiritual attention by beating around on yourself with a ball bat, you are dumber than a box of rocks. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Dull of hearing. People are dull of hearing. They're dead to hearing the Word of God.
I'm going to tell you, if the Holy Ghost don't get a sinner's attention, it's not going to be God. But I read that to tell you that's the mentality of people today. And the reason is, they're dull of hearing. No, nay, brethren. Their hearing's dead. They're dead. I'll let you look at that spiritual bunch of giants in a little bit. I'm going to tell you, if you can tell me how, going to a church, I take that back, going to a building, and watching 8 or 10 men half naked beat themselves with a ball bat, ever get anybody saved, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll jump off the Empire State Building. Huh? It ain't going to make it. America is dull of hearing the Word of God. It takes that book, folks. That's the attention. And the Holy Ghost is the attention getter that'll get you in that book. Consequences of dull ears. Are your ears sharpened tonight? I hope so. Let's stand together.